You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a while since the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show has aired on the airways here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. But what host would I be without announcing my co-host, Hank Williams Jr.'s long-lost relative, Jeremiah Penrod? How are you, buddy?
I'll be doing all right soon enough.
Yep. Well, let's dive into some racing news. We're going to start off with the NASCAR Cup Series race from Richmond Raceway yesterday. What a race that was. Looked like Martin Truex Jr. had that race sealed up. He led over 200 laps in that race, had the dominant car all night long.
Denny Hamlin.
And out of nowhere, here comes Denny Hamlin and a caution with two laps to go as Martin Truex Jr. is about to take the white flag, but half a lap away from him winning at Richmond. And we're going into NASCAR overtime. And it was for Kyle Larson being spun out by Bubba Wallace. And he saved that car. That car did not hit the wall. They come into pit road. Martin Truex Jr. is leading. Second is Joey Logano. Third is Denny Hamlin.
I actually thought he was gonna have it like at the end. Yeah. But now the yellow flag came.
But the race was won in the pits. Mm-hmm. Denny Hamlin's crew had a less than 10-second pit stop. 9 seconds to be exact. And a whole second on pit road is a lot of time. That is a position gained or lost on the racetrack. Pit crew does their job, gets him out front, and Martin Truex Jr. comes out second, third, Joey Logano. And Kyle Larson, he fell back to sixth place for being spun out. He comes down pit road, he gains two positions on the racetrack, comes back to fourth where he was before he got spun out by Bubba Wallace. And Bubba Wallace has he had a great day going for him, a really great day. It was going to be a strong result for that 23 team at 2311 Racing. And a pit crew makes a mistake.
Didn't have it.
Yeah, the left front tire's lug nut was not completely on. You got to get that on. And he fell back to 16th. So, anyways, this is where it gets real exciting, ladies and gentlemen. So, here comes the restart, and Martin Truex Jr. was not happy with Denny Hamlin whatsoever.
He was not
happy at all. And come to the restart, it looked like Denny Hamlin might have jumped the start, but it was real close. I mean, he looked like he got a good start on Martin Truex Jr., and he's won at now Richmond Raceway 5 times. At his home track, so he knows how to get it done at Richmond. Come to the restart zone, and Denny Hamlin takes the lead. Martin Truex Jr. is not happy for him jumping the start. Well, we're coming out of turns 1 and 2, and
bumped him.
And he didn't just bump him. He basically used up Martin Truex Jr., pushed him all the way up into the wall. Didn't hit the wall, but he basically used him up, and that made him vulnerable to Joey Logano because he was all the way high up on the racetrack trying to battle on the outside because you don't really want to run second to Denny Hamlin and you're running behind him. You want to at least have your front nose on his quarter panel going through turns 3 and 4 to be competing on the outside and pinning Denny Hamlin down on the bottom of the racetrack because that was in effect all night long with drivers making passes. I mean, Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson for the first half of that race were battling it out, and Bubba Wallace pinned Kyle Larson down on that bottom for quite a while, but Kyle Larson still prevailed. But it was good racing at Richmond, and that's what Richmond Raceway is all about. The racing it brings out at that racetrack is bumper to bumper, side by side, short track racing, and fans love it.
Just duking it out.
And
plus, they had a wet start to
this one. Oh, yeah. We'll get into that. That was, I mean, Goodyear tires, that they brought their A game with
these
rain tires. So, Martin Truex Jr. is not happy. He falls back to third after being passed by Joey Logano with 2 laps to go. And here comes Kyle Larson. He's looking under because to the bottom of the racetrack in 3 and 4 because Martin Truex Jr. has been used up. He's vulnerable on the outside, and you got two fast hot rods behind you. And I don't know what was going on with Kyle Larson and Martin Truex Jr., but they were just – I mean, Martin Truex Jr. basically just pinned Kyle Larson all the way down the bottom of the racetrack. I mean, slammed right into him, which is uncharacteristic of Martin Truex Jr. Martin Truex Jr. does not make enemies on the racetrack. He is one of the most well-respected drivers in the NASCAR Cup Series by many drivers across all three series.
Makes you wonder what happened outside of the cars.
Yeah, I don't really know what was going on there, but Martin Truex Jr. was not happy. Pinned Kyle Larson all the way down the bottom of the racetrack in 3 and 4. They're hitting the wall, duking it out, and we're coming down to the start-finish line to take the checkered flag. And Kyle Larson just absolutely runs Martin Truex Jr. up in the wall. I mean, he just clobbered him in the wall. They were both beating and banging, hitting the wall off one another. And Martin Truex Jr. ended up finishing fourth. Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Truex Jr. is not over yet, okay? It is not over with Martin Truex Jr. So after all the cars crossed the start-finish line, Martin Truex Jr. bumps Denny Hamlin in the rear bumper. Not just once, a few times, to show his displeasure with the 11. And he was not very happy whatsoever. So, I thought the racing was pretty good. I really enjoyed that race. Mm-hmm. It was a great way to kick off Easter Sunday. And, you know, now it's April 1st and, you know, get some momentum going with having Easter and some NASCAR racing on Easter. You have March Madness going on as well. So it was a great day overall for sports. And it ended the night off with the NASCAR Cup Series. And what a race. It was a very exciting race. I mean, they started in the rain, folks, on rain tires. And the drivers did a superb job from navigating around Richmond Raceway with those rain tires. They did a great job. Goodyear brought their A game with the rain tires. I mean, it's kind of skeptical putting rain tires on
NASCAR,
especially on an oval for sure. Mm. I mean, it's not like they're racing at Daytona National Speedway or Talladega Super Speedway.
They got the
and they're going over big 200 slams. Miles an hour and the rain. I mean, they wouldn't do that. No. Goodyear would not do that, of course, or NASCAR, but. If it's a short track, I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's a short track. I mean, it's not like you're going.
Had a few slick spots after they put on the
rain tires.
There was slick spots with the rain tires. Even, but when they put on the dry tires, there were still a few slick spots on the track.
I mean, the drivers were navigating through the rain at a superb rate, and it provided good racing yesterday. And I props to NASCAR, props to Goodyear for, you know, supplying the teams with rain tires being prepared, and the drivers doing a great job navigating through the rain. It wasn't just pure chaos and a bunch of race cars wrecked. I mean, I don't even know how many cautions there were. There were not many. There were not many cautions. It was just great racing.
Mm-hmm.
You can have great racing without many cautions. Mm-hmm. You can have that, folks.
Actually, if memory serves correct, there weren't any, like, real wrecks.
No. Just like
it was just a few, like,
spin outs,
slick spot, spins, whatever.
Yeah, wasn't
bumps into walls, but nothing big. Yeah, I know. Nothing big.
Kyle Busch caused a caution. Kyle Larson caused a caution. And obviously, you have the stage cautions, but really, other than that, there were no wrecks or no cautions. And people talk about, oh, I love NASCAR because of, you know, the high speeds and wrecks at Daytona and Talladega. That is not racing. I mean, it is, but it isn't. And
it's a part of racing. It's a part of racing. But it's not racing.
More than half the field being wrecked out of a race is not a race. That is just pure chaos and carnage and a bunch of torn race cars up and a lot of money.
That's a lot of money going there.
So, yeah, I thought the race at Richmond last night was a great race.
That was a good race.
We're going to go over the top 10 results. Denny Hamlin picks up his second win of the season. Second, Joey Logano. Great run for that 22 group. Had speed. I mean, we're still early in the season, but had the best car at the Daytona 500 and was robbed at the Daytona 500. Had fast speed at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and they've had some ups and downs, but they're getting back on track. They said that they don't really test a lot, especially during the season, but they decided to do a test at North Wilkesboro Speedway. They brought a lot of those tests that came back to put into their setup at Richmond Raceway. Took a lot of the notes and knowledge from that test at North Wilkesboro Speedway. It was a tire test. With Chevy, Toyota, Ford, drivers from each manufacturer. So they had a great run at Richmond Raceway. Third, Kyle Larson sat on pole, led over 100 laps, looked really fast, looked dominant, but at the end didn't just have the speed to compete with Martin Truex Jr. Fourth, Martin Truex Jr., he was robbed. I mean, yeah,
you kind of ate your words right there.
Yeah.
Didn't have the speed to compete with.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah. Right after I talked,
yeah,
and said Martin Truex Jr. Yeah, but he was robbed of a victory at Richmond Raceway.
He was,
but
he was there for like the entire race.
Yeah, he led
and
over 200 laps,
and then just right there at the end.
Yeah, fifth Chase Elliott. That is a great result for that nine group. They have struggled to start this season off. They struggled last season with Chase Elliott coming back from it was a leg injury from a skiing accident in Colorado. He was out for more than half of the season last season, and great result for that nine group. Hopefully the nine group can get more results like this, and this gives them momentum going throughout the season, and Chase Elliott breaks his winless streak and finally gets to victory lane. It's been a while since Chase Elliott has won a race in the NASCAR Cup Series because he wins the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series Championship. Next-gen car comes. He looks like the man to beat. Winning multiple races, doesn't win the championship the first season of this next-gen car. It goes to Joey Logano. That was definitely wow. Joey Logano came out of nowhere, but when you saw the success Chase Elliott was having with the next gen car, he was the favorite to win the championship. But Joey Logano, and then the 2023 season, him getting an injury early in the season, trying to catch up on points to make the playoffs to be able to race for a championship, doesn't happen. Chase Elliott, lot of lost confidence there. Okay, injured myself. I'm trying to get back into this championship fight. We don't make the playoffs. Having tough result after tough result after tough result in consecutive races, and has a top five finish at Richmond Raceway. Get some momentum going for this nine group. They're going to be looking dangerous coming later in the season. Sixth, Christopher Bell. He had a speeding penalty. He was a lap down. Comes back to finish sixth. A great result for him. The 2024 Daytona 500 champion, William Byron, finishes seventh. And then eighth, Brad Keselowski. Great result for him and RFK Racing. Ninth, Chris Buescher. He has won here at Richmond Raceway in the past. So great result for those RFK cars. And the 10th, Tyler Reddick for 2311 Racing. That rounds up your top 10 at Richmond Raceway. I would like to go over the point standings. I'm just going to go over the top 16 and a couple drivers that I could see making the playoffs. So here we go. First is Denny Hamlin. Second, William Byron. Third, Kyle Larson. Fourth, Christopher Bell. Fifth, Daniel Suarez. Sixth, Martin Truex Jr. Seventh, Ty Gibbs. Eighth, Ryan Blaney. Ninth, Chase Elliott. 10th, Ross Chastain. 11th, Tyler Reddick. 12th, Alex Bowman. 13th, Chris Buescher. 14th, Kyle Busch. 15th, Bubba Wallace. And 16th, Brad Keselowski. And here are a few drivers that are not in the top 16 that would make the playoffs if it ended today. That I would think. 18th, Chase Briscoe. 19th, Joey Logano. third, Josh Berry and what the heck. We're going to throw Michael McDowell's in 21st. And last driver I'd like to consider is 30th, Noah Gregson. And, yeah, I'm just going to keep it there. But I'm telling you, Josh Berry, he's got the ball rolling here at Stewart Haas Racing. Had some great results these past few weekends, especially on the short tracks at Bristol and Richmond. All him and Noah Gregson especially have been looking real good at Stewart Haas Racing. And I would have expected Ryan Preece or Chase Briscoe to have taken this second leap here at Stewart Haas Racing and be the lead drivers, but these are the rookie drivers at Stewart Haas Racing who are absolutely killing it for the team, especially Josh Berry. And I think Josh Berry can win a race in the NASCAR Cup Series this season. I think he can make the playoffs. Noah Gregson, I feel the same way. I think he could make the playoffs. Not sure if he could win a race this season. Just depends on the pace. But Josh Berry's been really leading this group at Stewart Haas Racing. And I don't know, is it the Sunny D or something? I'm not sure that's sponsoring that race car. But that beautiful paint scheme, looking good at the track, having good results. So look for him to be a contender to make the playoffs later in the season.
Well, I mean, like, anything can happen.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
As long as the cards fall in the right places.
Yeah.
I can definitely see a win for either of them.
Michael McDowell, another driver, keep in mind, road course specialist, super speedway specialist. He won the Brickyard last season to make the playoffs. It was the second win ever in the NASCAR Cup Series. He has won two of the biggest races in the NASCAR Cup Series, the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard. So look for him to be a factor. Joey Logano is going to make the playoffs. He's in 19th. He's had a few bad results, but we're early in the season. He's going to make the playoffs. I'm going to say he's going to win for sure this season. If he doesn't, he's going to make it on points for sure. Noah Gregson, he's had some rough results to start the beginning of the season, but has had pace. That 10 car has had pace. The most pace I've seen out of that 10 car in a very long time, probably since Eric Almirola's, I believe it was his first season at Stewart Haas Racing, looking real fast. That car's looking good. And I'd say a couple seasons after, I'd say every season before 2020, that 10 cars has had decent pace. So props to Noah Gregson, that 10 group. I expect them to be contending for the playoffs. I'm not trying to favorite Stewart Haas Racing. This is just what I've seen from Stewart Haas Racing so far this season. They've stepped it up, especially in the pace category, and not trying to sound biased or anything because they're my favorite race team, but if you're a NASCAR fan, you have seen the improvement and gains this team has made in the offseason, and they're looking real strong. If they continue to keep this up, I'm not going to say they're going to win the championship or anything, but I can see them winning a race or two this season. Ryan Preece, he's in 31st. He's had rough results. Hopefully he can take the second year leap here at Stewart Haas Racing. And Chase Briscoe, the kid from Mitchell, Indiana. I'd like to see him get back to victory lane. He won a race back in, trying to think of the year. I believe it was 2020. Yeah, 2022. He won his first NASCAR Cup Series race and at Phoenix Raceway. A lot of fans expect him to make this big leap here at Stewart Haas Racing. The pace has not been there for this team, especially 2023. And 2020 was just an awful year for Stewart Haas Racing.
It was an awful year for pretty much everyone.
Yeah, we're hopefully he can make that, you know, second.
Hopefully we don't have to deal with a year like that again.
No, hopefully not. That would not be great at all. But
anyways,
yeah, hopefully that Chase Briscoe and that 14 group can get back to victory lane, and like to see that 14 back in the playoffs and continue on the legacy of Tony Stewart and that whole Stewart Haas organization. But yeah, that's basically a quick rundown of your current point standings in the NASCAR Cup Series. We're going to move on here to the next NASCAR Cup Series race next Sunday on April 7th at 3 o'clock p.m. from Martinsville Speedway. And what a race Martinsville Speedway produces. Great racing, bumper-to-bumper, short track racing. Drivers will move one another to get out the way. I'm going to expect a little bit of chaos at Martinsville. That race normally provides chaos and great racing. And unfortunately, a few times, a few torn-up race cars. But
yeah, so y'all who like carnage,
tune in. Your race. This is your race. Bumper-to-bumper, short track racing action. Great racing, though.
Yeah.
Moving on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series race, Chandler Smith picks up his second win of the season. Second, Eric Almirola. Yep, I mentioned him. Past driver for Stuart Haas Racing. Few NASCAR Cup Series wins. Returns to Joe Gibbs Racing to be a driver, mentor, driver, coach, and raced a few races in the NASCAR Xfinity Series with Joe Gibbs and retired with Joe Gibbs Racing. That's where Eric Almirola got his start in NASCAR with Joe Gibbs. Taylor Gray, I'm pretty sure, finishes third in the number 19 Toyota Supra for Joe Gibbs Racing. Fourth, Corey Heim. Fifth, Jesse Love. This kid, I'm going to say, future superstar in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And if he continues to have the success he's having, like he had in the ARCA Series, winning a championship and winning half of the races in a season, he continues these results in the NASCAR Xfinity Series with Richard Childress Racing. Big things to come for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth, Bubba Pollard. What a great result for him. He had a fantastic, fantastic result for Junior Motorsports. And we're going to dive into that story a little later on in the show. Just a feel-good story. Seventh, Parker Kligerman. Eighth, Austin Hill. Ninth, Sammy Smith. And 10th, Cole Custer rounds out your top 10 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Richmond Raceway. Okay, so you talk about heartbreak in the NASCAR Cup Series race with Martin Truex Jr. absolutely dominating the race, and NASCAR overtime takes his win away from him, and a slow pit stop and the help from Denny Hamlin kind of using him up on the racetrack. Well, you want to talk about a viral moment on a racetrack? This has gone viral nationwide. The NASCAR Xfinity Series race.
Is it that one scene from Cars where Lightning McQueen pushes the king?
No, this is
no, it's not.
No,
okay.
No, this is okay.
Different kind of wholesome.
This story that I'm about to mention. I wouldn't say it's a positive by any means, but it went viral, so we're going to talk about it. NASCAR Xfinity Series driver Joey Gase, throws a bumper off his wrecked race car at Dawson Cram during the race.
Wait.
Yes, you heard that correctly. He, Joey Gase throws his wrecked car's rear bumper at a moving car, Dawson Cram, who wrecked him. Yes, and it's gone viral. It has gone viral.
Never have I related more to someone.
Yep, this legit happened. So, Dawson Cram bumped into Joey Gase, sent him spinning into the turn one and turn two wall on lap 174, and Joey Gase was not happy. He was not happy whatsoever. And he pulled his rear bumper with his bare hands. So
that is one seriously ticked off dude.
Yep. And especially, he's not using gloves, people. He's not using gloves. So safety precautions are out the water here.
I mean, I thought safety precautions left when he chose to rip the bumper off and throw it at someone.
This is before that. So safety precautions are out the window. So, I mean, you could get serious cuts from taking off sheet metal with your bare hands off a race car. I mean, just put that out there. It hurts. So, I mean, he threw that thing. I mean, it was accurate. I mean, it was a nice throw.
We're not by any means condoning this.
No, but I mean, wow. Okay, absolutely wow. Takes me back to 2012 and the Bristol Night Race when Tony Stewart got wrecked by Matt Kenseth, and Tony Stewart threw his helmet at Matt Kenseth. He was not a happy guy. Tony Stewart, nope. You don't want to mess with smoke. And he's over here, he threw his helmet, and he's over here doing this. I'm just like, wow. And, yeah, Joey Gase, you know, living up to the hype here. Living up to the hype of tempers flaring and what some drivers will do when their tempers get to the top. And it went viral. This was a viral moment, and I just thought it was some news. If you can go on YouTube, go on the internet, search this up. Just search up Joey Gase throwing rear bumper at Dawson Cram. And even you can
hear. At this point, you probably just don't need to type in Joey Gase.
Yeah, you probably just type in Joey Gase. Joey Gase, he's owned his NASCAR Xfinity Series team for a few years now. Has not won a race in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. But this is what Joey Gase will be known for in the NASCAR community for a long time to come.
Just like that one fist fight.
So, yeah. And, it's pretty unbelievable.
It's like those Little League game parents. It's like no one's going to really remember the game, but everyone's going to remember that time Dad got in a fist fight with the coach.
Yeah, we'll always remember that.
Because the coach didn't put his son in.
Exactly. So I'd like to mention Bubba Pollard here, and 37-year-old super late model racer, and he had a sixth-place finish at Richmond Raceway. And he finished the best out of all the junior motorsports cars, and this was his debut in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And wow, I mean, what a great result for him! It was a great result, and it was a feel good story, especially when these grassroots late model drivers, USAC drivers, outlaw drivers, open wheel dirt car drivers, they get these starts, and they're coming from the grassroots. I mean, late model racing is hard, people. It really is. If you're not one of the best at it, and you're not in the NASCAR or IndyCar spotlight, you're not in that spotlight whatsoever. Junior motorsports and what junior motorsports is doing, finding talent like Josh Berry. He grew up doing the same thing. He was a late model driver as well. You look back years ago, a kid from Indiana who clawed and fought for everything to make his way into the IndyCar series and to the NASCAR Cup Series to be successful at both forms of motorsports was Tony Stewart. He did it all. Open wheel dirt racing. He's done super late model racing. He's done it all. And to have the success, it's just really going back to these, past generation drivers. You have a Tim Richmond, for example. A lot of these drivers, Kyle Larson, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Sr., that have really started out grassroots racing and have really worked to get where
they are.
Right? The peak of their career, how they got there was not from sponsorship or you know, these opportunities. I mean, they got opportunities, but they had to work for them. And they just didn't start out, okay, here you go. We're going to have a sponsorship here, and you're going to get your first start in the NASCAR Cup Series at the age of 20. No. No.
You get your first spot at the age of 28.
I mean,
after
depending on,
you know, after you claw your way up,
to
become one of the best at what you do.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Stewart, and when he was racing Indy Racing League, he wasn't, you know, a young 18-year-old IndyCar driver. He was like 20, 21 years old. I mean, he was. I mean, he wasn't. You know, he
had to prove himself.
He had to prove himself. He wasn't, you know, starting out, you know, getting a sponsorship, and he had to really prove himself. And it's a great story with Bubba Pollard here, and we're going to continue to talk about it more. But he was fast, okay? Not just, you know, he qualified in the very rear end of the field, but I mean, he looked very fast. And especially in practice, I believe he, in practice, he was running. I'm trying to think here where I'm trying to find the information here. But Bubba Pollard was fastest in the first Xfinity Series practice at Richmond Raceway. So he had pace. He for sure had pace. And that's the thing with Bubba Pollard here, and he was on a lap for qualifying until he overdrove turn one and two, and he had a bad lap. But he started in the back of the field, made his way through the front of the field, and finishes sixth. And Bubba Pollard has had success in the late model community. Oxford 250 win at Oxford Plains Speedway, the Rattler 250 at South Alabama Speedway, the Winter Showdown at Kevin Harvick's Kern Speedway, the Speedfest 200 at Cordial Motor Speedway, the Slinger Nationals at Slinger Super Speedway, and the All-American 400 at Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway are just a few of Bubba Pollard's wins in the super late models. And he's also the 2014 ASA Southern Super Series champion. And you just love to see these drivers that get these opportunities, and they really grind at it. He's 37 years old racing the NASCAR Xfinity Series. That just does not happen. That does not happen. You get this ride with Junior Motorsports, and by the time you're 37, you're basically just
almost done.
Yeah, you're rode off, and
yeah.
It's but
it's like turning 50.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's maybe we shouldn't have you in the manual labor.
This is what Kyle Busch had to say. I enjoy seeing the guys who have worked so, so hard and have run so well over the years in late model racing to get those chances. I'm thankful of Junior for doing that. It takes money, obviously, to go to the racetrack. A lot of those guys use that money to go race their own cars and their programs and don't spend it on a NASCAR program. I think for the betterment of our sport, it's cool to see guys like that get a shot. I like that. That quote there. Brad Keselowski also
bring back
said,
the M&M car.
2012 NASCAR Cup Series champion. I thought the opportunity was well earned. Dale has some privileges that not all of us enjoy, with the ability to be able to do things like that. Having partners that allow him to do that, he did it for me. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. At the end of the day, I think it's good for everybody. Brad Keselowski. That is true. I agree with that. Those quotes right there. If you didn't know, Brad Keselowski, before he became the 2012 NASCAR Cup Series champion with Team Penske, he got a start in NASCAR with Junior Motorsports, with Dale Earnhardt Jr. And
Earnhardt.
Yeah. So, if you didn't know that, that's how Brad Keselowski got a start in NASCAR. And if it wasn't for Dale Earnhardt Jr., he probably wouldn't have had the success he had. And That's how he got his break, was with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Dale Earnhardt Jr. taking these chances and opportunities on these drivers that are, you know, grinders that race in the super late model community. A perfect example was Josh Berry. Perfect example. I mean, Josh Berry drove Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s late model stock car to the 2020 NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series National Championship before he advanced to the Xfinity Series with Junior Motorsports. So he's racing late models with Dale Earnhardt Jr. And now Josh Berry competes full-time in the NASCAR Cup Series for one of the greatest NASCAR Cup Series drivers of all time and one of the greatest racing car drivers of all time. You tell me a driver that has won two IndyCar championships and three NASCAR championships to have success in two racing series. I'll wait. And they're national series that are, I'm going to say they're these racing series are worldwide. That's Tony Stewart. He's the only driver to have won IndyCar championships and NASCAR championships. No one has ever done it except him. So now he drives for one of the greatest racing car drivers of all time. It's unbelievable. For you Bubba Pollard fans out there that are, you know, loving this story, this feel-good story, well, I got some sad news. That was the only scheduled race for Bubba Pollard for Junior Motorsports this season. So there's been no news about Bubba Pollard making a few more starts for Junior Motorsports in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We'll just wait and see. But
maybe they'll have an ace up their sleeve at some race for him. But hey, at least he made a really good first impression.
Yeah,
didn't
exactly. And that's what it's all about. This is what Bubba Pollard had to say after the race. It means a lot because there are a lot of great race car drivers out there that people never see. I'm thankful for the opportunity that Ream and Dale Earnhardt Jr. gave me. It's special to me and my family, just everyone. Hopefully we can do it again. I'd love to see Bubba Pollard back in a race for Junior Motorsports this season. It's great for the sport to have these, you know, drivers that just grind and claw and, you know, it's scratch and bite to get to these opportunities. It doesn't come often, and it's just good for the sport to see these drivers get these opportunities that from grassroots racing, and it's just great for the sport.
Yeah.
The next race for the NASCAR Xfinity Series will be Saturday, April 6th at 7:30 p.m. at Martinsville Speedway. So under the lights at Martinsville Speedway should be some amazing racing at Martinsville. Expecting chaos and great racing. Going to cover the Formula One Series. Carlos Sainz picks up his first win of the season. Second, Charles Leclerc. 1-2 for Ferrari. First time they've done that since, I believe it was 2022. Great result for that group. Third, Lando Norris for McLaren picks up their first podium of the season. Fourth, Oscar Piastri. McLaren and Ferrari bringing a handful of points to their teams. Fifth, Sergio Perez for Red Bull. Sixth, Lance Stroll. Seventh, Yuki Tsunoda. Great result for that team as well. Eighth, Fernando Alonso. Ninth, Nico Hülkenberg. And 10th, Kevin Magnussen. Haas showing some pace at Australia. Double points finish for them. Great result. Yeah, Carlos Sainz is without a ride for next Formula One season. And the race before this, a couple weeks before this, he had to get his appendicitis removed.
Eesh.
Yeah. Okay.
Appendix bursting is no good.
No, it burst. He had to have surgery. And you know what he does? He's without a ride. He had to have surgery. Little over 2 weeks ago. You know what he does? He comes back and wins for Ferrari at Australia. What a result. That is a feel-good story.
That's a
comeback story.
That's a tough
and he's without a ride for next season. And he had surgery on his appendix. And he wins at Australia. That doesn't display toughness. Then I don't know What does? Because that is tough. A moment,
a round of applause for him.
Yeah, Carlos Sainz and determination, grit, effort, energy, focus, work ethic. I don't know what displays that more than, you know, having a setback.
Pain tolerance.
Having a setback to start the season already, and you're without a job for next season, and then you have to have your appendicitis removed, and then you go and whoop everyone and win. But I mean,
that's pain tolerance, right? Yeah, there.
Yeah, like, I know Max Verstappen, he had his engine issue, but you know, and he
didn't have his appendix removed, yeah, and then proceeded to win a race.
Yeah,
okay.
And then he ended up Max Verstappen ended up not finishing because of the engine failure and that Red Bull with some mechanical issue. But I mean, Carlos Sainz without a ride, and he deserves a ride for next season in Formula One.
Just give the guy a ride.
And it's crazy. He's only been there for 3 seasons. And he has won for Ferrari in each season. Charles Leclerc has not done that. And they're keeping him on for next season with Lewis Hamilton when he comes on over. I get Lewis Hamilton as a 7-time Formula One champion. He's won over 100 races. He has over 100 podiums. He has over 100 poles. And I get why you'd take, you know, Lewis Hamilton over Carlos Sainz and keep Charles Leclerc, because Charles Leclerc, he is from Ferrari and the Formula One community. He is the next, I'm going to say the next big thing at Ferrari. And I get why you keep Charles Leclerc, but now Carlos Sainz without a ride, and Mercedes is looking for a driver to fill in for Lewis Hamilton. And they need a driver. Carlos Sainz would be a great addition to that team, him and George Russell. I'd look for them to be really good teammates together. And I think that Carlos Sainz definitely deserves a ride at, you know, one of these top teams. Mercedes talks of Red Bull with Sergio Perez. Are they going to keep him on as their second driver? I don't know. But I'd say Mercedes is probably Carlos Sainz's best bet for a competitive championship. I wouldn't necessarily call it Mercedes at the moment competitors to win the Drivers' Championship or Constructors' Championship, but a very competitive car, and could be if they, you know, get this whole car together, and they could be really good. So, I'd like to mention that Formula One continues Sunday, April 7th at 1 a.m. if you'd like to tune in to that one at Suzuka Circuit. The Japanese Grand Prix provides great racing at Suzuka. 2024 driver standings for Formula One. We're going to move on. Max Verstappen first. Everyone knows that. Second, Charles Leclerc. Third, Sergio Perez. Fourth, Carlos Sainz. Fifth, Oscar Piastri. Sixth, Lando Norris. Seventh, George Russell. Eighth, Fernando Alonso. Ninth, Lance Stroll. And 10th, Lewis Hamilton. That rounds out your top 10 for the Formula One driver standings. Here we go. Constructor standings. First, Red Bull. Second, Ferrari. Third, McLaren. Fourth, Mercedes. Fifth, Aston Martin. Sixth, used to be called AlphaTauri. It's like Red Bull, Honda. It's like Cash App. I don't even know. It's a lot of names for this team.
A lot of words.
Seventh, Haas, Ferrari, and then 8th is Williams with no points scored this season. 9th is Kick Sauber, Ferrari, without points this season. And 10th is Alpine without points this season, which I'm very surprised Alpine hasn't scored any points so far this season. That's a big disappointment for the French team. They have, especially if you're going to be, they're one of the most competitive midfield teams in the field. So, I like to go over the $1 million challenge from Thermal Club. This occurred Sunday, March 24th. First, Alex Palou. Second, Scott McLaughlin. Third, Felix Rosenquist. Fourth, Colton Herta. Fifth, Marcus Armstrong. Sixth, Linus Lundqvist. Seventh, Alexander Rossi. Eighth, Joseph Newgarden. Ninth, Christian Lundgaard. And 10th, Agustin Canapino. And they were racing for $500,000. It was kind of split, you know, down the where you finished. It was like the NASCAR All-Star race, but you race the All-Star race. Only one driver who wins the race gets $1 million.
That'd be nice.
As a prize. And for this, it was all the drivers that finished in the top 10 would receive, I think it was top 10 or top 8. I'm trying to figure that out. But it was split into $500,000. If you win the race, you're getting $500,000, and then it splits where you finish, and you're getting paid for where you finish in the race. Yeah. Just depends on where. So it's like the All Star race. Just every driver's getting a prize for finishing the race. So yeah. I thought the race at Thermal Club was a very exciting race. It was exciting. A lot of passing, a lot of high speeds. It was just great to watch on TV. It was eye-catching. It brought a lot of attention, and I'd love to see. I think Thermal Club will be a great race on the calendar. Upcoming IndyCar race will be from one of my favorite tracks on the calendar for IndyCar, Long Beach. Love that track. The Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach will be April 21st at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. You watch this on USA. Here is your race schedule. Practice 1 is April 19th at 5:50 p.m. Practice 2 is April 20th, 11:25 a.m. Qualifications Round 1, April 20th, 2:25 p.m. Qualifications Round 2. I messed this up, ladies and gentlemen. Round 1, Group 1 is April 20th, 2:25 p.m. Qualifications Round 1, Group 2, April 20th, 2:50 p.m. Qualifications Round 2, April 20th, 3:15 p.m. Qualifications Firestone Fast 6th, April 20th, 3:40 p.m. Warm-up for the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, April 21st at 12 o'clock p.m. And then the race, April 21st, 3:30 p.m. You can watch that on USA. Go over the top 10 of the championship standings real quick. First, Joseph New earned second, Pato Award. Third, Scott McLaughlin. Fourth, Will Power. Team Penske looking real good in that top 10. All three drivers in the top 10 currently in the NTT IndyCar Series championship standings. Fifth, Colton Herta. Sixth, Alex Palou. Seventh, Felix Rosenquist. That Meyer-Schenck Racing group is looking really competitive this season. Eighth, Alexander Rossi. Ninth, Scott Dixon. And 10th, Rinus VK for Ed Carpenter Racing, looking very strong to start the season for them. And then to round out bit of news here, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race at Martinsville Speedway will be Friday, April 5th at 7:30 p.m. So two races this coming weekend under the lights at Martinsville Speedway, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and the NASCAR Xfinity Series. I'm expecting great racing, like I said, and carnage. That's what I'm expecting. Mm-hmm. And great short track racing if you're a fan of short track racing. I forgot to mention the Truck Series point standings. I'm going to go over just the top 10. First, Corey Himes. Second, Rajah Carew. Third, Christian Eckes. Fourth, Nick Sanchez. Fifth, Ty Majeski. Sixth, Tyler Rankin. Seventh, Taylor Gray. Eighth, Matt Crafton. Ninth, Grant Enfinger. And 10th, Tanner Gray. 11th right now is Ben Rhodes, but I'm going to expect him to be in the top 10 in points by the end of the season. And Daniel Dye is another driver that I could see as well. Moving on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series point standings, I'm just going to go over the top 12 real quick here and a couple drivers that I could see making the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. First, Chandler Smith. Second, Austin Hill. Third, Cole Custer. Fourth, Jesse Love. Fifth, Riley Herbst. Sixth, A.J. Allmendinger. Seventh, Justin Allgaier. Eighth, Parker Kligerman. Ninth, Sammy Smith. Tenth, Brandon Jones. 11th, Sheldon Creed. 12th, Anthony Alfredo. I love that name, Anthony Alfredo. 13th, Shane Van Gisbergen. I'm going to expect him to make it into the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. Sam Mayer, same way. He's a 19th at the moment. He made the championship four last season. And 24th is Josh Williams. Getting this opportunity at Colleague Racing, he really needs to get these results going for that team. And with the equipment he has of his disposal, he should be in the playoffs by the end of the season. Those cars are very competitive. Well, that's going to wrap it up here for the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. We're a little over today, but we're going to get this wrapped up real quick. I'd like to thank Mr. Penrod, a.k.a. Hank Williams Jr.'s long-lost relative, for being on my show today. Couldn't do this without him. Love you, buddy. Yep. And here we go. We're going to cue this outro out here. So here we go. Let's do this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you miss a live episode of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show, that's okay because you can go to audioboom.com to listen to an episode you might have missed. The All Gas and No Breaks radio show is on every Monday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 a.m. only on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. For Jeremiah Penrod, I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Big Nelly out!